right, and welcome everybody to this episode of the EM Over Easy podcast. I am your host, Andy Little, joined by two amazing special guests, Risa Lewis, Dara Landry, two EM physicians who are really killing it in all aspects of clinical and outside of clinical medicine. But today we're here to talk about this idea of micro skills. So before we get too deep into this, Risa, why are we talking about micro skills and why it's important to EM physicians and then really in general for everybody?
Thanks for the question, Andy, and thanks so much for the opportunity to speak with you today. So Adair and I have written a book. It's called Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact. And it would be true that part of the impetus comes from our work as emergency physicians. So for listeners who are in healthcare, who are medical, who understand the concept of someone coming in with a wound that needs suture repair, you can think about all the steps that you start with, that you learn, that build upon each other, so you know how to close a wound. And you can think about how those steps, those fundamental building blocks, actually translate to some of the other skills that we learn in the emergency department. And it's not just about procedures, but I'll give a non-medical example. For those of us that grew up tying shoes, when you think about how you tie your shoes, man, there are a lot of steps that it takes to learn how to tie a shoe. So the concept is, in our professional lives, we have a lot of big projects, tasks, overwhelming asks, even habits that we look at other people and we wonder, how did they learn that? How they just have it innately a part of them. And what we posit, and I wanted to use that word right there, what we posit in the book is actually many of these things, most things can be broken down into small steps. And we call these micro skills to help navigate and be better at work.
So Adair, you weigh in.
I just wanted to add to the point of, we really wanted to provide a very comprehensive book that people can use from the earliest point of their career, coming out of, for your audience, graduate school or residency or fellowship. And it's a guide on these large ambitions that many of us have. Like, I want to be a really great public speaker. I want to build a network. I want to be that subject matter expert who gets invited to do keynotes at conferences. And you're just like, but how do I do that? And you might have wonderful mentors around you who are also very busy and don't have the time to break down all of those steps into the smallest finite measurable skills. And that's what we hope this book would do for our readers, your audience, is give them that early guide as far as, this is how you can achieve these goals that were probably vague, elusive from the beginning.
I love, actually, as I read the book, it was a combination of kind of two parts. So part of it was, I was amazed that this is a book that anybody can start from. I feel like so many of these books that come out that are written, you have to be at a certain level within your career or have a certain set of skills when you start. But having read the book, somebody can have no skills, but not recognize their skills and start from there and then build off of that, versus somebody even advanced in their career can rethink of a couple of their processes and benefit from the book. So I love that part. When I was reading the book and having listened to some of your guys' other pressers, Adair, what was kind of the aha moment for you that said, this is the topic? Because you guys could have written about anything. You were both very accomplished, both very gifted writers. What made micro skills the thing, or what was the event that was like, this is what we have to write about?
Well, just to back up, so Reese and I have written for other outlets before the book and new outlets since. And one of the things that we focused on was breaking down whatever we were addressing into really, really small steps. So I think even when I think about an article that we wrote on networking via Twitter, the article wasn't about the benefits of networking via Twitter. It was how to network via Twitter. And so that, I think that really resonated with us, this idea that we both have had individual aspirations. Some of them are the same and some of them are different, but we both uniformly felt like there were times when we really wanted something and we didn't know how to get there. I trained under the wonderful Dr. Mike Stone in ultrasound. And Mike Stone, for anyone listening, is really phenomenal at sonography and everything related to education and medicine. But I remember when I was really early in my career as a fellow, I saw him giving lectures everywhere. He was writing books. He was being a consultant for major companies. He was clearly a subject matter expert, and I didn't know how to do that until I specifically asked him, like, what were the steps you took to be the person people call? And he was like, you have to first pick a topic you really want to learn. For me, it was nerve blocks. So I studied everything that I could learn about nerve blocks. And then I started making lectures. And I started collaborating with people on this topic and writing papers and volunteering to be on organization. Like, just like that stepwise breakdown was very helpful for me, because otherwise I thought, perhaps I just will learn on my own. And at some point there will be some opportunity that's going to come my way, I sign up for, or someone nominates me for. But it was a more passive approach that didn't really have those concrete measurable steps.
So as you mentioned, going through, again, you reached out to Mike Stone, somebody you wanted to emulate. You brought up writing down the process. And as I was reading the book, something came across my mind continually. This is a really elaborate to-do list, but I know that's way making it too simple and not expressing it well. How is this maybe different from a to-do list if somebody was to read the book and going with a to-do list type of mentality?
Quite simply, we say this is the book we wish we had been given when we were starting out. And we resonate with what you're saying about the to-do list. For audience listeners, readers that haven't experienced the book yet, we wrote it to be very readable. And so it's not a book that you must read cover to cover. It's definitely a manual. And there's a very detailed table of contents that you can just thumb through to a section that you want to read or something you want to work on. We actually tried to make the text very engaging. There are a lot of stories, personal stories. And the way we organize its chapters, there's a story to illustrate the micro skill. And then we tell the reader why we think the skill is important. We are very human. We acknowledge why it's hard and why not everybody has this or can't really get their arms around it. And then the checklist manifesto part, perhaps, is as emergency doctors, oral boards, we have to give our critical actions. So readers that are familiar with that, there are critical actions. And that's part of what makes our book different. A lot of business self-help books tell the reader to go ahead and just go out and do something, but they don't tell you the how. And Adair and I really wanted to walk the reader through the how so that these seemed like really doable skills.
I love that, because it's, again, as I read the book, it was, I too wish I had this book back years ago, because I feel like everybody has those kind of moments where it's like, I gain this new piece of information, and because I can then employ that in my future, how different my future is. And I go back and think, man, this would have been great to have as a chief resident, would have been great to have as an aspiring resident trying to find a footing of leadership and education during residency, even as a medical student, maybe in the way that I was categorizing and looking at the match. And so this is kind of an all-comers book that it would be nice to go back in time and just insert this book, drop into Andy Little's lap when he was 23 or 24, thinking that I really enjoy where I am, but where could I have been if I'd had these set of skills? If someone was to apply these to, say, one project, how big of a different outcome do you think would happen, looking at it from a micro skill standpoint?
Well, we have this promise on the book that was kind of a funny, like a line that we had, and we put it on our initial literary proposal. And everyone commented that they really resonated with it and that they really loved it. Very eye-catchy. And that is, buy this book on a Friday, be better at your job on Monday, which is just like, sort of speaks to the idea of, we really want to give, to deliver skills that don't require you to go get an MBA to achieve your job, or to say, change your residency. I mean, like, we really wanted to focus on the idea that there are things you can do now that are small that can have big impact. And Reese and I had read a lot of books in the beginning that were considered comp titles or comparative titles. And we found that a lot of them gave very large pieces of advice. I mean, like those large paragraphs of case studies about some businessman and all the money he lost. And it was really hard to discover, like, what is the nugget of truth? And we wanted to make something quite accessible. To your question about if someone has a particular goal, how would they see an effect? I mean, it really depends on the goal they have. And so the way we designed the book sort of speaks to your question, which is that we have a table of contents that was initially going to be just like chapter one and then the title, chapter two and then the title. And Risa actually had this brilliant idea of putting up front all of the micro skills in the table of contents, yeah, so that it is very easy for someone to open the book and say, what is it that I want to work on today? Is it that I need to have a difficult conversation with someone and I really want some guidance on that? Or do I feel like I'm not caring for myself at all and I just want to understand what does self-care look like and how do I make small movements to that? So I think when it comes to seeing impact, we hope that people realize that even just a small amount of reading can perhaps change someone's life in dramatic ways, especially if they're reading books on managing your schedule and saying no to opportunities that are coming your way or avoiding being emotionally charged with how you respond to people and taking time to cool down. Those are things that don't require you to go out and spend money and get a degree or find a new project. You can do that with minimal effort after reading the book.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the table of contents because to me, as I was reading through the table of contents and looked at the different chapters, I looked at it afterwards. I read it not knowing that this masterful outline that Risa put together was there waiting for me. But when I read it, it was this supplements so many other things that I've read. Some of those other 15 best books of leadership, this augments it very well. And again, takes something I would read a 300 page book about and makes it very simplistic in 10 to 12 pages on how to actually apply that to my life and use micro skills to make it better. So kudos to both of you. I love that you brought it up that was by design. It wasn't just by accident, which isn't surprising knowing who I'm talking to here on the show. So if I was a skeptic of micro skills, what would you use to sell me on the idea that this is a topic or at least a framework that I should consider adopting in my life?
So first I want to say it's such a compliment that this book spoke and speaks to you, and that you see it as applicable to you, Andy Little, because Adair and I do get a lot of like, oh, it's a book for doctors. We're like, no. Oh, it's a book for women. No. Oh, and of course, yes, it is for doctors and it is for women and it is for people that have it all have, and it is for people who have at all not felt as if they belong in the workplace. And we start the book in the introduction, we talk about three truths. One, time can only be spent. And we actually think about time as a currency. You can't put it in a savings account. It can only be spent. So you should be really careful how you spend your time and with whom you spend your time. Next, everybody doesn't start at the same place. The starting line is not the same. And it may speak to a selection bias of the people in our world, but the bottom line is a lot of business self-help books don't quite appreciate that. We don't have the same upbringing. We don't have the same resources. We don't have the same network. You get it. And finally, we talk about learning is just infinite as long as it's accessible. So our goal was to make this exquisitely accessible. To your question about micro skills and for people like, convince me. Well, ask any person that has felt paralyzed by a task. Anybody that has procrastinated anything that just seems too huge, they don't want to sit down and just get to work on it. It's not something that Adair and I came up with in 2021, because this has been a three-year project, this concept of breaking big things down into small pieces. However, sometimes people need to read it and see it. And also, I think, again, it's the, you can be told, oh, you should break it down into small pieces. And people are like, okay. They don't get the how. And so we try to make no assumptions. And we really try to walk people through scenarios, give them dialogues, give illustrations on the how.
We also know that in this day and age, the digital age, I don't really want to read a huge chunk of paragraphs for 5 pages straight. I really don't like to read those types. I mean, I like to read novels and sometimes I format it that way. But when it comes to dense business books, I find those a little bit harder for me to engage in compared to a book that has a lot of personal storytelling and just a little bit more of that a narrative that I feel like I can relate to. And so we used our own personal experiences to capture that audience, but also understood that the average person doesn't have time to read dense material and stay engaged, especially as we're looking at millennials and Gen Z who are really used to fast feedback. Tell me what I need so I can turn to the next page. That was in our mind as well.
As you read it, it definitely has kind of, in case you missed it, feel where it's, we're going to skip through all the fluff and just get to the points. So again, kudos to you again for going after that format, knowing who your audience is and knowing that the audience has changed from, say, maybe this book was written 10 years ago, it would have been significantly probably bigger, more textbook-esque, but definitely not in 2024. So I guess closing arguments. So how impactful has even just writing this book been to your being able to practice micro skills? And then what would be maybe a piece of advice you'd give someone who picks this book up, say at a bookstore, or follows the link we're going to post on our blog site and takes a chance and buys it?
I'll start. And Andy, that reminds me a little bit of a question I like to ask my guests when I'm doing podcast episodes. How are you different having written this book? And guests are always like, ooh, that's a good question. And so I don't know if that was 100% your intention, but I'll say, how am I different having written this book? It's been an amazing experience. It really has been so much more fun. And gosh, I don't think there are a lot of things that I describe as fun, but it was fun. Now, part of it is I love learning, I love reading, and I love writing. I love storytelling. And this book afforded all of those. I also loved writing it with Adara, in so much as we have some very overlapping experiences. We have some very different experiences, but we came together in having this end goal of, to the best of our ability, an amazing book that would be as helpful as possible to people. We really, really want the content to speak to people, to be helpful to people, because call it the educators in us, call it the, we took a Hippocratic oath to help and heal. Like, our goal is to help people. And at the other side of it, really, when you write something down and then have to speak about it and then edit it and re-edit it and re-edit it, even do an audiobook recording of it, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. It makes you flush out your thoughts, flush out your notions. The other thing about what we wrote is there's a lot of evidence. These aren't just the experience of Adara and Risa. There are references throughout the book from the business literature, as I like to call it, and other research literature, psychology literature. Just again, these aren't our notions. This isn't our experience. There's actually science behind what we're saying here. And hence the fact that it is speaking to essentially everyone with whom we've spoken and shared the material. So the other side of it, I feel more, I guess, solid and sure of my knowledge and my sense of the workplace. Again, the fun part says to me, this writing thing is not a one-off. And as Adara shared earlier, we had our proof of concept. We were successful with getting articles published. So this book was an extension of those articles that we wrote in Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, fill in the blank, that are all about the workplace, leadership, communication, time management, people management. I think when people pick up this book, day to day, depending on the time of day, the mood, activities of the day, some of the micro skills seem to feel more important than others. So I think what I would say is that the content is evergreen, and it's not just a 2024 phenomenon. It's not just a virtual hybrid workplace phenomenon. These are sort of lessons and skills that have been spoken about for decades in terms of how to be a leader, how to be a communicator, how to be better at work. And I think that's all I have to say right now.
I agree. That is a great question. I agree with what Risa has shared. I think for me, I am different, A, as a writer. I feel like my writing skills now are much stronger than when I started the book, which almost makes me convinced that if I were to write the same book today, it would be a much better book, because I just know much more at the end of the journey than I did at the beginning. But that's good, because now I feel comfortable that book two will be better. And I just, you keep using those skills to become a better writer. So I'm happy with that. As far as what to tell the reader, I want people to know that we cover a lot. This is a very comprehensive book. And our goal is, yes, to teach the content that's within the book. And it's also to teach you strategies to deal with the small micro skills that you might need to get or you might need to achieve later that are not in the book. So we use that redundant framework for every single micro skill because we feel like that is a great approach. And we also know that we only have about 80,000 words that we can put into this book. And we know we're not including every single possible skill someone could learn. Even through all the podcasts that we have gone through, people have mentioned skills and we're like, oh, we didn't actually include that, but that would have been nice. But then it's like, we didn't have room for anything else. It's like stuffed to the max in this book. And so hopefully by reading through the book cover to cover or section by section on demand, you'd be able to see, okay, I'm going to think about who I am, my current scenario. That's like your own personal vignette. and why I need this skill, and why is it hard for me to move forward, and what are some of the smallest possible critical actions I can take to achieve this goal and make it feel measurable and intentional and make me feel like I'm in some form of control and not just like wandering loosely. So we know that we're not covering every single thing that affects the workplace in this book. There's just no way. But hopefully the framework through which we include the current micro skills can be helpful for people.
Yeah, I'm trying to answer that question myself. As if you are deciding, am I going to read this book or not? I'm going to go back to what Risa started with, was the three truths which ring true the entire book. You start with it and you conclude with it. So truth one, time was only spent. You cannot deposit or withdraw time from a savings account. Two, the world is not equitable. We don't all start in the same place for various reasons. And then finally, learning is not limitless. So if you buy into those three truths, time is only spent, the world isn't equitable, and learning is limitless, please consider picking up this book and learning from the life lessons of Risa and Adara and make things better by learning micro skills. So Risa and Adara, where am I going to find this book?
So you can find this book at all major book stores, either in person or virtual. So Amazon, Barnes and Noble's, Target, independent bookstores. You can request it to be on order there. And then also your local library. You can put in a request if it's not there already and check it out. It is available April 16th, 2024.
Risa. Finally, Adara and I went to the studio. And for those of you that don't buy books and like to listen, there is an audiobook version.
All right. And thanks for sticking around all the way to the end of that EM Over Easy episode. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as on the blog site, emovereasy.com. And don't forget, the four of us, Drew, Tanner, John, and myself, will be live and in person at the upcoming ACOAP Spring Seminar in sunny Orlando, Florida, April 27th through May 1st. So head on over to acoap.org today to learn more about our two live shows and other great speakers from around the country and around EM. Until next time, thanks so much.